We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 this evening. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests are polluted, have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling without not, so thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look at your word this evening. And Lord, speak to us and help us to understand. This was words spoken to the nation of Israel hundreds of years ago, well over 2,000 years ago. Yet the same things that happened in Israel then and happening in our world today. And Lord, help us to see the importance of repentance and turning to you and realizing that you are a God who is never changes and is just and holy and pure. And help us to seek to be like you and to worship you. Lord, speak to us now through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Wednesday night we looked at chapter 2. And in chapter 2, God brought all of the judgments that were going to be coming against the various nations that surrounded Israel. We talked about the fact that that nothing has changed in 2,000 years. The same nations are still there fighting Israel, and God still is going to judge them completely. He did judge them in the past, and we looked at the past judgments that came against these various nations. And the amazing thing is that Israel saw these judgments coming. And Israel saw some of them happen. As you look at the historical point in history that is going on right now, as we're reading the text this evening, remember, Zephaniah is a contemporary of Josiah. He's they're both great-grandsons of Hezekiah. And they're about the same age. They're living in the same generation. And having lived in that generation, they're also living at the time where Jeremiah is going to be coming and he's beginning to bring his prophecies dealing with the southern kingdom, and that Judah is going to be led away into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. And the southern kingdom has seen what has happened to the northern kingdom of Israel. And they also have seen what's happened to those that had brought vengeance and brought the northern kingdom into captivity, that is the Assyrians. We talked about last week that the Lord said that the cities of Assyria would be destroyed, and they were, by the Babylonians. And this was done during this time in history. So Israel had seen that. They'd seen that these false gods of the northern kingdom were nothing but false gods, and God brought judgment. Seen that the gods of the Assyrians were false gods and God brought judgment. But yet now in the southern kingdom, the same thing is happening. And I want you to see that this evening we're going to look at how Satan tempts and how people yield to temptation. And when they rebel against God, it attacks all areas of society and comes in all ways. Beginning. The first verse says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. What city is he speaking about? It's not speaking about the cities of Babylon. He's not speaking about the cities of Egypt or the cities of Assyria. He's speaking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem has become the oppressing city because Jerusalem, even though it's supposed to be the city of the Lord, and it is the place that will be where the Lord comes to dwell and rule and reign the earth when he comes and establishes his kingdom, yet at this point in time, it has become an oppressing city. And we're going to see how the oppression has come. The oppression comes when people rebel against God's word and they begin to undermine the truth and replace it with lies, and it impacts all of culture. He says here, she obeyed not the voice, she received not correction. Whose voice didn't she obey? The voice of the Lord. She didn't listen to his law, she didn't listen to his command, she didn't listen to his warnings, and she didn't want to be corrected for her rebellion against him. And you see many correlations with what we're going to see tonight with our own country today. We've had a historical past where we knew the truth. There's still an element of Christians in America today that are holding to the truth. But even within the church, we see people are abandoning the truth and replacing it with lies. And that's exactly what was happening in Israel. They quit listening to the voice of the Lord. They trusted not in the Lord. They believed that they had to follow other gods in order to be successful, and that God wasn't going to be strong enough to be their God. He wasn't a God of truth. He wasn't a God of justice, and they didn't believe him. And she drew not near to her God. They didn't believe in the Lord. Well, how did it impact them? Well, I want you to see, and we're going to look at some other verses that reveal to us just the depth of what was happening here. First of all, turn to Jeremiah, and we're going to look at a few verses out of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and then some of the minor prophets that deal with just all of the attitudes and problems that were going on in Israel at this time. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Jeremiah said, "Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" God says, I brought you into this land. I gave you all of these promises, and yet you've turned into something that's unrecognizable, something that's totally different, something that's going to bring forth strange fruit. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3, he says, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return." And that's exactly what happens to people when they reject the word of God and the truth of God, and they will not repent of their sin but continue in it. They only harden their hearts and grow more rebellious in their spirit. That was what was happening in Israel. And that's what you're seeing. The battle in our country today is really a great spiritual battle, and at the heart of it are the souls of men and their obedience to God or their disobedience. He then talks about the areas of the culture that is happening and where this is evident. And it's in all areas. It's in government, it's in the judicial system, and it's in the religious system. All areas have been impacted by this rebellion against God. In Zephaniah says in verse 3, he says, "Her princes within her are roaring lions." What does he mean by that? Well, Ezekiel gives us a picture of that. If you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 22, Ezekiel chapter 22, and verse 27. And Ezekiel says, "I will overturn it." I got 21. Chapter 22, verse 27. "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain." Now, who were the princes? Those were the ones that were entrusted to oversee the people and to give them protection, leadership, and justice. David was established as the best king Israel ever had. What did David do? He led the people in the way of the Lord. He sought that the people would live in righteousness. He made sure that he set an example and he worshiped the Lord. He did not worship false gods, and he didn't do anything for personal gain in when he ruled the people. Yet we see here Ezekiel is saying, and building upon the words that Zephaniah shared, that they had become ravening wolves and they're only concerned about their own personal gain, and that even if it came at the destruction of the people, that they were to be set over to protect. The Lord had established those in political leadership, not that they should be able to rule and run rampant over the people and take advantage of them, but rather they should be there to protect them. That wasn't what was happening in Israel. And we're seeing that many people in America want the same thing. It's interesting in the current election in our country, one of the parties is promoting socialism. And one of the things that they want to make it sound like is that they want you to have all these things for nothing. But the problem is they don't realize that if you buy into that lie, it's a deal where it places certain people in great positions of power and authority, and everybody else loses their rights and loses everything that they have in order to prop all these people up that possess the positions of power and authority. Socialism has never worked in the world, and really at the heart of it is a spirit that had come into Israel where the leadership cared nothing about the people but just wanted to line their own pockets, and they'd say and do anything to accomplish it. And that's what the princes did as they sought to be these ravenous wolves that go out to destroy. If you would turn with me to Micah, in Micah chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Micah 8, chapter 9 through 11. Micah also addresses... Oops. Did I write... There isn't a Micah 8. I wrote the wrong numbers down. Let me see if I can quickly find what I was looking for. But Micah shared in his words as well. Micah 3... That's what happens when you don't read wearing your glasses and you write something down. Micah 3, chapter verses 9 through 11. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. And this is what they were doing. They abhorred judgment and they didn't want equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. In other words, they build their government upon blood and sin. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. So they would lie and they would sin and they would do all of these wicked things, and then they'd say, well, we're really with God and we're leaning on the Lord, just follow us, but they were lying. And they did it with the full intent of destroying the people and destroying the equity that God had entrusted to them for the people and to preserve their freedom. Well, it wasn't only the princes, but it was also the judges, the law. And if you would turn with me to Habakkuk, let's see, make sure I get the right verse here. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 8. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 8, we read the following. Okay. There we go. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 8. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and the more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. In other words, he's giving the picture of that which brings destruction. The eagle comes to eat the prey. The wolves come to destroy and consume. The horses are horses that bring judgment from the riders, and they're coming to destroy. And that's what the judges are doing. They're not seeking equity, but rather they're seeking the destruction. They will result in the destruction of the people. So the princes, the judicial system, and the governmental system in Israel at this time were both wicked, corrupt, and evil. They were built on sin. Well, what about that which should have protected the people spiritually? Well, let's take a look at what Zephaniah says about that. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 4, her prophets are light and treacherous persons. And these are the prophets. These are the ones that are supposed to be proclaiming the word of God and what God is speaking forth. But they're light. In other words, they don't bring the truth. They proclaim that which tickles the ears, which doesn't can make people convicted of their sin, but rather justifies their sin. And they're treacherous. They don't really desire to bring the truth. Well, not only the prophets, but he also deals with the priests. And he says the priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Well, what does polluting the sanctuary mean? They've destroyed the worship of God, and they have undermined the truth of his word. And that's what the priests have done. So we see that the prophets bring that message, which, like the prophets in the northern kingdom did for Ahab, they tell him what he wants to hear. And so they'll tell the people what they want to hear, but when they do that, they're treacherous in their dealings because they're not proclaiming the truth, which what the people need to hear, that they turn back to the Lord. Well, let's see what some Jeremiah says about the prophets. If you would turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2, we're going to read a few verses out of Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 23, and verse 11 and 32. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11. Jeremiah writes the following: "For both prophet and priest are profane." Now, what does profane mean? Profane means it's not that they use bad words. They probably did that too. But their lifestyle was such that it was an abomination to the Lord. Profanity means that you're doing that which the Lord hates. And that's so their whole life was profane. "Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." He found their sin and their rebellion in his house, in the temple. The prophets would come to the temple, the priests would come to the temple, and instead of worshiping God, they would bring in that which was profane to the Lord, an abomination to the Lord, and brought wickedness. Turn with me to Lamentations 2:14. Lamentations 2:14. And in Lamentations, Jeremiah writes the following, as he writes with a weeping heart: "The prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity, to turn away thy captivity, but they have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment." What they did is they brought false prophecies, and they caused the people to continue in sin, so that God's judgment would come upon them, and they would be banished, they'd be taken away into captivity. And instead of bringing them to a point of conviction and repentance, they drove them further into sin. And this is what Jeremiah was seeing. If you turn to Hosea chapter 9, verse 7, in Hosea chapter 9, verse 7, Hosea says the following: "The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. What was the great hatred? The hatred was of the law of God. And the iniquity was the rebellion against God. And the prophet wasn't saying a thing about it. One of the sad things you're seeing in much of the church in America today is people are not being called to repentance. And they're not being called to turn to the Lord. And they're not being called to get right with God. And instead, their ears are being tickled. Their messages are light. They're not convicting. They're false messages. You have preachers that align themselves with the wickedness of this world and promote that which is wicked. You have whole movements coming into the church, contemplative prayer, the New Age movement, bringing in people that are teaching these philosophies, and giving them, sharing the pulpits with them and sharing opportunities to present this to their congregations. These are what these prophets did. Turn with me to Ezekiel, and it'll be Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. In Ezekiel 22, verse 26, we read the following. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. In other words, they're saying there is no difference between that which is wicked and good. And I remember hearing men tell me that in the past. Well, one of the things you view the Word of God too literally. You take it to that there is too much black and white. No, God's Word is black and white. There is truth and error. There is that which is clean and that which is unclean. There is that which is righteous and that which is unholy. That which is holy and that which is unholy. And yet, we see that the prophets of Israel were confusing the two and presenting the two as the same. And today you're seeing the same thing happen in the church, in the same philosophy being brought into many churches. Oh, it's okay to have yoga. It's okay to have contemplative prayer. It's okay to bring in these ideas of that there is really anything goes as long as you're doing it for the Lord. No, there is that which is profane unto the Lord. And these men were to guard the spiritual well-being of Israel, but they refused to do it. Well, back in Zephaniah again, he says that that they had done violence to the law. And when they did violence to the law, what they did is they destroyed the law, and they said it was of no real pertinence, or it didn't really have to be followed. Today there's people that do violence to God's Word. They say that, well, we don't really have to preach the Word of God. Just go by feelings. Just go by emotion. No, we have to teach and preach the Word of God. Verse 5, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. See, these people thought that God really wasn't there. That they could create a God of their own making. And that God would become to them what they wanted Him to be. But God was still there. The just God was still in Israel at this time. They could not cause Him to leave and create this different God. It's just like the just God is in our midst today, even though we may be doing unjust things. The Lord is still here. He's in our midst. And He says He will not do iniquity. He's not going to justify what they're doing and go along with it. The Lord isn't going to sin. Early morning doth He bring His judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. In other words, the Lord's judgment is going to come, and He will judge the sin. But the problem is, the unjust, they don't even see the judgment coming, and they feel no shame for what they're doing. I remember when I was a kid, when you did something wrong, you'd get really red, because you'd blush, because you'd be shamed. You'd be ashamed of what you had done. Today, there's no blushing going on, because people aren't ashamed of their sin. It's become so commonplace. But it doesn't mean that God isn't there and he's not just and his judgment still is coming. Verse 6, I've cut off the nations, their towers are desolate. And again he goes back to what happened in chapter 2. He destroyed the nations. He destroyed these countries that had come against Israel. And their towers, were the symbols of their strength. The towers were what the nations would use to see their enemies coming. And he's destroyed the towers, so they have no defense. And their enemies have been destroyed by the Lord. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is none inhabitant. And it says that the Lord is there, and the Lord knows what's going on. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32, 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. It says, He is the rock, that is the Lord. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. You can't change God. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. The Lord is just. Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 17. Ezekiel 15, verse 17. And here it says, Ezekiel, I wrote the wrong verse down again. I'm sorry. Let's take another one. Let's go to Micah 3:11. Micah 3:11. In Micah 3:11, Micah says the following, The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil will come upon us. They're doing it for the wrong reasons, and then they say that God is with us and he's going to bless us. But the thing is, he will not, because the Lord is just. And then turn to Jeremiah and look at just a few more verses in Jeremiah in closing, and then we'll be closing. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Jeremiah 3, 3. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. The Lord is in their midst, and he's bringing judgment, and they don't even realize he's bringing judgment. You know, if you look at what's happening in even our own land, where people turn away from the Lord, God's judgment comes in various forms. And a lot of times people don't even recognize the judgment. We can have disasters, natural disasters occurring, and people say it's Mother Nature. That's exactly what was happening in Israel. The judgments, God would bring judgment on them, and they wouldn't even say they were judgments from God. They'd say, oh, God's still with us. No, he's not when he's bringing his judgment. And there's other verses that deal with this. But I just want to close this with verse 7. And the Lord says in Zephaniah says in verse 7, I said, Surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6. And he speaks of this same philosophy. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his sickness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. And Jeremiah is saying the same thing. God brought his judgment. The Lord in his love brought judgment so that they would repent and turn. Yet because of their wickedness and sin, they refused to turn. So he punished them for their sin, but there was coming a day, and we're going to see that in the weeks ahead, that God's blessing would fall upon them as they will return to the Lord. But what happened here is because of their wickedness and stubbornness, and because they allowed all of their leadership to become corrupt, and they followed the corrupt leadership, the government, the religious leadership, and the judicial leadership all became corrupt, the people embraced that instead of God. And Zephaniah is saying, repent and turn to the Lord, for judgment's coming. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the importance of turning to you. Lord, there's a lesson to be learned from Israel and what happened to her. Judgment did come. Babylonian captivity arrived. Lord, in America, we can't play church. We can't play Christianity. We can't just have our ears tickled, but rather we must walk in holiness and righteousness before you. Lord, help us to turn to you and Lord, not to believe the lies of the princes and the judges and the religious leaders that would seek to lead us into destruction. But rather may we turn and follow you in righteousness. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.